Hello and welcome to Franklin Community High School. My name is Rex Zorn and I'll be bringing you all the action as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Franklin Grizzly Cubs in week 7 of the Indiana high school football season. Well, it's been a wild and woolly tale of two seasons so far in 2022 for your Quakers. Back in week 1, they hosted the Greenfield Central Cougars. Now, Plainfield played surprisingly well with rushing offense, but their passing offense struggled for most of the game, and they gave up too many big plays on defense, resulting in a 30-28 Cougars win. Then in week 2, Plainfield took a long bus trip up to Tippecanoe County to play the Harrison Raiders. Harrison almost completely shut down Plainfield's offense until the fourth quarter when the Quakers managed a furious rally that fell short on the final play of the game with an interception near the goal line on a Hail Mary. Then in week 3, Plainfield returned home for a 38-7 loss to Mooresville, led by Mr. Football candidate, superstar quarterback Nick Patterson. And that dropped the Quakers to 0-3 for the first time since all the way back in 1996, leading fans to be concerned that head coach Brian Woodard's farewell season was going to be a sad one. The next week, however, Plainfield began turning it around. They visited Perry Meridian in South Central Indianapolis. The offense was decent and the defense was outstanding, not allowing the host skeletons an earned first down until the last 3 minutes of the game. Plainfield led 28-0 early in the fourth quarter and won 28-14. Then the next week at Greenwood, Plainfield was even better. The Quakers were running on all cylinders on both sides of the ball. Hunter Newell at quarterback and Noah Hessing splitting the game between wide receiver and running back each had career games. And 6 different Quakers scored touchdowns, 3 receiving and 3 passing. Plainfield won 43-14 in a game that was played with a running clock starting late in the third quarter. Then finally last week, Plainfield returned home to play a painfully familiar opponent, the Decatur Central Hawks, who entered the game having beaten Plainfield 13 consecutive times, including 4 times in the playoffs. Plainfield started off like they planned to slay the demon very early on. They scored touchdowns on their first 2 possessions in the first 5 minutes and 20 seconds, a 71-yard pass from Hunter Newell to Troy Larrison, and a 3-yard run by Antonio Williams, giving the Quakers a 14-0 lead. After that, however, their offense stalled for the remainder of the first half, and Decatur Central came back to take a 20-14 lead early in the third quarter. Plainfield tied it at 20 on a 4-yard rush by Williams, combined with a failed extra point, and then with 2:20 to go in the fourth quarter, tied the game at 26 on a quarterback sneak by Hunter Newell, and again the extra point failed, so the Quakers failed to take the lead. And by the way, those were Cameron Grimes' first 2 misses on extra points on the season after 16 makes. Then Plainfield got the ball first in overtime. Newell scored another rushing touchdown and then knocked in a 2-point conversion to give Plainfield a 34-26 lead. On the first play of Decatur Central's ensuing possession, freshman quarterback Bo Polston, who was having an outstanding game featuring 378 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, Polston threw a 10-yard touchdown pass to Alec Lawson. However, the 2-point conversion failed, giving Plainfield the win, breaking the 13-game losing streak to the Hawks and sending the fans into pandemonium, as well as giving Plainfield its first 3-game winning streak since all the way back in 2015, 7 years ago. Tonight, Plainfield will try to get its first 4-game winning streak since all the way back in 2008, 14 years ago, as they play the Franklin Grizzly Cubs, a team that was long a doormat here in the Mid-State Conference, but has been turning a corner for the last several years. In the 22 season span from 1997 to 2018, Franklin did not have a single winning season. They had 17 losing seasons while finishing at 500 5 times. Chris Cole became the head coach in 2017 after an outstanding run at Tri-West, capped off by the 2014 Class 3A state championship. In the first 2 years under Cole, Franklin went 1-2 and 2-8. I'm sorry, they went 1-9 and 2-8. However, in year 3, back in 2019, Tri-West had a breakthrough season going 10-3. That was followed the next 2 years by 3-6 and 3-7. But the Grizzly Cubs look like they're going to have another winning season this year as they enter this game at 4-2 and with a record at 4. They enter this game with a record of 4-2. And ranked number 8 in the state in Class 5A. Plainfield now, after their last 3 wins, is ranked 12th. Now, so far this season, Playfield has rushed 192 times and passed 120, a ratio of 1.6-1. Junior quarterback Hunter Newell has completed 67 of 119 passes. That's 56.3% for 854 yards, 8 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Senior Grant Irwin is the leading receiver with 13 receptions for 258 yards and 4 touchdowns, followed by junior Isaiah Miller with 13 rushes for 153 yards and 1 touchdown. Senior Noah Heslin with 14 receptions for 137 yards, and senior Troy Larrison with 8 receptions for 96 yards and 1 touchdown, and at that we will pause for the national anthem. Well, thank you to the Franklin Marching Grizzly Cubs for that lovely rendition of the national anthem, and now we'll get back to the statistics here. Now looking at rushing statistics for Plainfield on the season, senior Troy Larrison, a convert from the track and field team, leads the way with 61 rushes, 61 rushes for 358 yards and a touchdown. Senior Noah Heslin, after spending his previous 3 years as a wide receiver, has partly moved to running back this season and has 50 rushes for 329 yards and 5 touchdowns. Senior Antonio Williams having a breakout season with 37 rushes for 182 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Hunter Newell, despite several sacks, has 40 rushes for 65 yards and 4 touchdowns, including 2 last week, 1 in overtime. Meanwhile, Franklin has rushed 197 times in the past 69, a ratio of 2.85-1. Their starting quarterback is junior Clay Pinnock, who has 28 rushes for 55 yards, that's 50.9%, 412 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Meanwhile, freshman Grayson Betts has also shown some promise he's completed 11 of 13 passes for 134 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Franklin's leading receiver is senior Maxwell Clark with 6 receptions for 174 yards and 2 touchdowns, while junior Luke Beckert has 10 receptions for 135 yards and 2 touchdowns, and senior John Shepard, a running back, has 8 receptions for 94 yards. Also on the ground, John Shepard is the leading rusher for Franklin. He has 75 rushes for 359 yards and 2 touchdowns, while quarterback Clay Pinnock has 36 rushes for 223 yards and 2 touchdowns. Junior Caleb Owens has 33 rushes for 201 yards and 3 touchdowns. And senior Bo Baker has 24 rushes for 166 yards and 5 touchdowns. So between Pinnock, the quarterback, and 3 rushers, the Plainfield rushing defense, which has been the strongest aspect of their game all season, is going to have a chance tonight with four rushers who average at least 4.8 yards a carry and have multiple touchdowns. Head coach for Plainfield is Brian Woodard, who's 95 and 82 in his 17th and final season with the Quakers. head coach for Franklin is Chris Cole, who's 21 and 35 in his sixth season with the Grizzly Cubs and 178 in his 17th season overall. He previously served as head coach at Tri-West for 11 years, leading the Bruins to the 2014 Class 3A state championship. So now we're getting set to kick off here. We have a lovely evening, temperature of 66 degrees here in Franklin, about 15 miles south of Indianapolis, under a mostly clear sky. Supposed to get a lot chillier for next week's senior day game for us against Whiteland. We'll talk more about that later on. So now two receivers back deep to receive for Franklin. Deep kick. Fielded at about the 9, brought up to the 15, the 20. He's got a hole. Breaks the tackle around the 25 and drags his way up to about the 32. So good starting, or at least decent starting field position for the Grizzly Cubs. That was Bo Baker, a senior running back there on the return. So now we'll get a look at Franklin's offense. Again, they have nearly a 3-to-1 rush-pass ratio. Franklin was long a guaranteed win. Almost guaranteed win. Plainfield won 20 of the 22 matchups between these two programs from 1997 to 2018. However, the Grizzly Cubs now have won 2 of the last 3, with both wins coming at Plainfield. So this is turning into a much more competitive series now. Franklin lines up 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. They give it now. I believe that was Baker again. He gets 3 or 4. No, I'm sorry. That was Shepherd there, John Shepherd, a senior and the leading rusher. They give him 5 on that one, or 4, excuse me. So 2nd and 6 for the Grizzly Cubs here. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Shepherd, the running back, in. Takes man up Shepherd. This time a screen pass, and it's a complete for about 14 yards there. He's knocked out of bounds around the 50. That was Maxwell Clark, the team's leading receiver there, on that screen pass from Clay Pinnock, the junior quarterback. So again, they give him 1 more yard than I expected, so that'll be a gain of 15 yards there. So 1 rush and 1 pass there. And now a handoff to Shepherd again, and he gets up again for, it looks like a 5 or about 4. So John Shepherd looking pretty good in the early going. He's good size at 6'2", 235. Should be playing college ball a year from now. Each of his 2 rushes have gone for 4 yards. That'll bring up another 2nd and 6. Last time on 2nd and 6, it was a 15-yard pass there to Clark for the first down. And now this time it's a direct snap, and he gets up. He's got the first down. Moore drags his way up about 5 or 6 yards after contact. That was a direct snap there to Jack Aldridge there. Very crafty play for the Grizzly Cubs. He picks up 9 yards there, so it's 1st and 10 for the Grizzly Cubs at the Plainfield 36. Grizzly Cubs moving the ball a little easier than I would like. So now 1 receiver out to the right, 1 running back. Gives it to Shepherd this time, and he's up again for about 4 or 5. John Shepherd, not spectacular, but very, very steady. 10:05 to go and counting here in the first quarter. So 3 rushes by John Shepherd, 4 yards on each of them, so he's 3 for 12. And like I say, all you need is 3.4 a carry. So now Franklin lining up the 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Shepherd, the running back. Pinnickin shotgun. Takes a snap, drops the back, and under pressure, throws deep down the right side. Did he make the catch? No. So the first deep pass of the game. And I'm sorry, that's Grayson Betson there at quarterback, excuse me. So that was yeah, this is the second week in a row Sorry, that's Betts in there instead of Penix. So this is the second week in a row that Plainfield has gone against the freshman quarterback. The first, of course, last week, Bo Polson threw for 378 yards, certainly not playing like a freshman. So third and six now. We got to get him off the field here. Now, telegraphed a rush over to Shepard, but he gets forward for about four or five. It's going to be fourth and short. 9:25 to go and counting. It's going to be fourth down, but Shepard with four rushes, and 4 yards in each of them. So he's 4 for 16, putting up fourth and two now. The Grizzly Cubs lining up to go for it at the Plainfield 32. Plainfield has not shown they can stop the Grizzly Cubs yet. Hopefully that will change. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Shepard, the running back, now takes the handoff and a dive there by Betts. I think he does have the first down. He does. That's a very brave rush there by the freshman Betts, Grayson Betts. So first and 10 at the 24 for Franklin. The Grizzly Cubs got the ball first. They've run off. The clock stopped for an incomplete pass, but other than that, they've kept the clock moving. 8:35 and counting now. One receiver to the left. Betts in shotgun. Drops back, and he's under pressure. And now about to get sacked. Did he get the – and it's incomplete. Aldridge caught it, but they ruled that he was out of bounds. The Franklin crew here says they think he got it in, but we'll see. If there's a replay, we'll see. I don't see any video cameras here, but anyway. So now two receivers to the right, one to the left. Three receivers to the right, excuse me, one to the left. So Betts in shotgun, John Shepard, the running back, trying to stop him here. High snap, and he gets it. So screen pass, and it is no good. So all of a sudden, third and 10 now. That's the first third and long for the Grizzly Cubs all game. Now we got to get him off the field here. So now, that's one thing that Plainfield has failed to do a few times this year that came back to bite us. It failed to get the other team off the field when they were in third and long or when it was fourth down and they went for it. So now, one receiver to the left. Betts got good speed. He's got a man open. He's got a complete pass inside the 10, and he's down to about the 2. I believe that was Bryce Richardson there on the reception, number 80. So another problem that's plagued the Quakers all year. It's just not getting the other team's offense off the field, and now we got a Franklin injury here, unfortunately. When we resume play, it'll be first down and goal at the 2 for Franklin. They've moved the ball pretty close to at will on this first drive. The only not so great moment from their perspective is the two consecutive incomplete passes. That set up third and 10, but then they wiped that out with a 22-yard pass there to Bryce Richardson. That was the 8th reception for Richardson of the season. Coming into tonight, he was 7 for 29. He is a senior for Franklin. This is senior day at Franklin, by the way. They had a super, super, super long senior day parade. They included the band of members and the cheerleaders. So anyway, and now the player getting up, and he's walking off the field groggily, but under his own power. That's good to see. We wish him well. So, we're set to resume play here at Franklin. We've got a great crowd here. It looks like we've got about 2,000 to 2,500 Grizzly Cub fans here in the home bleachers across the field with the visiting bleachers. It looks like we have about 150 Plainfield fans who made what would be probably close to an hour trip, maybe close to an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes My son and I came here from East Indianapolis by taking some obscure road to just to avoid the 465 traffic. And, you know, so he didn't get, you know, stuck in traffic much. So now the Grizzly Cubs line up two receivers to the left, one to the right. Shepard, the running back. Betts, the quarterback, in shotgun. Takes the snap, gives it to Shepard, and they're ready for him. He might not have made it in. I don't think he did. So let's see where they mark him. But, yeah, there's no signal for a touchdown yet. Yeah, they're marking him at the one. So Shepard, 5 for 17. On the season, he's averaging just under 5 yards a carry. He's 75 for 359 coming into tonight with 2 touchdowns. So second and goal at the one now for the Grizzly Cubs. 7:27 and counting here in the first quarter. No score yet. Now they give it to Shepard again, and they're right on top of him. They might have stopped him again. So what a goal line stand. You know, this is shaping up to be for the Quakers. Rushing defense has been their strongest point this season. And they got him down for a loss. All right. Boy, I'll tell you, if that would be, so it looks like, yeah, they marked him down for a 2-yard loss. So now, 2 yards, by John, 2 rushes by John Shepard since it was first and goal at the 2. And they got him for a total of -1 yards. So, man, that'd be awesome if we could even hold them to a field goal here. That'd be a great morale boost for the defense. So now one receiver to the right. Hand off there, and this time they gave it to Shepard again, and I think, yeah, he barely got in, okay. So third time's the charm for the Grizzly Cubs, and they opened the scoring with 6:34 to go here in the first quarter on the first possession of the game. So, all right, so John Shepard, 7 for 18 and a touchdown in this game, although certainly Plainfield did a great job there. Holding them to, you know, trying to make him work for it. And now Patrick Fancher, is good. He was 20 of 21 on extra points coming into tonight. He is the Grizzly Cubs kicker. He's a senior. Doesn't look like a kicker at 6'2", 275, but obviously he's good at nailing the extra points. He's also hit both of his field goal attempts at the long of 26. So. Now, Plainfield will finally go on offense. Franklin consumes nearly half of the first quarter on that drive. And I'll tell you, you know, the Mid-State Conference, when I first started commentating Plainfield 10 long years ago, the Mid-State Conference was certainly a solid, respected conference, but it's just gotten so, so good since then. I mean, it's now, starting to become one of the elite non-6A conferences here in the whole state of Indiana. And the fact that, I mean, used to be, you could pretty well count on a win against Franklin and Mooresville every year, and that is no longer the case. And the fact that now, I mean, we've had, for the second consecutive week, you know, a starting freshman quarterback for our opponent who gave us a whole lot of trouble, you know, Bo Colson last 378 yards, you know, as we narrowly beat Decatur Central in overtime, and then tonight, Grayson Betts, a freshman, who threw 13 passes coming into the night, getting the start here for the usual starter, Clay Pinnock. I wish we had injury reports here in high school ball. But anyway, kickoff is fielded around the 12, right up to the 20. That's Larison there, spins around and gets up to about the 21 or 22. So now we finally get to see the Quakers offense for the first time. Boy, we've had some great, you know, we've had some great quarterbacks in the Mid-State Conference over the last decade. Tommy Stevens from Decatur Central made the NFL, played 2 or 3 years ago with the Carolina Panthers. Last year we had a superstar quarterback starting for us, Carson Melvin, who sadly transferred to Westfield. Hunter Newell, a junior, keeps getting better every week. So now the Quakers line up 2 receivers to each side. Troy Larison, the running back. Newell in shotgun. Got the ball at the 21. Snap. Takes the handoff. Goes over to Grant Irwin. He bobbles it and drops it. Oh, no. We got a fight here. Oh, no. No, come on, guys. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. And it looks like maybe he got a poke to the face or something. Irwin looked visibly upset. I've never seen him look that way before. Could have been a finger to the eye or the face or something. And now he is furious. Appears to be, at least. Appears to be furious. So second and 10 for the Quakers now. My son Liam sitting next to me. He and Grant were third grade classmates at Chapelwood Elementary in the Ben Davis system. Liam said he's never seen Grant upset like that before. And now Newell dodges a sack, gets up the up to about the 30, so he might have the first down. It's a great move there by Hunter Newell. Great awareness. Newell has had some good moments rushing this year. They give him credit for 9 on that one, so bringing up 3rd and 1. Very big 3rd and 1 here for the Quakers. We got to get this. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Newell in shotgun, 1 running back. Gives it, I think that's Williams. He's got the first down. Not a, maybe 1 or 2 more. Okay, so he does have the first down, and he got 3 yards. Okay, that's good. So he moved the chains. Let's just, you know, I don't care if it takes 8 minutes or 10 minutes. Let's just get the, let's just get this, you know, get a score here. So that was a 3 yard rush there. 5:35 to go and counting here in the first quarter. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. 1 running back, Newell in shotgun. Takes the snap, takes the handoff. And he takes the pass, and now he's running for his life, and he completes a hustling there on the right side, and he might have the first down there. Wow, that was nearly intercepted, and Newell was nearly sacked there, so that was a heck of an effort. All right, so a 10-yard gain there. Newell on his first completion. Noah Hessling having overall a great senior season, splitting his time between running back and wide receiver after being strictly a wide receiver his first 3 years. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1st and 10 for the Quakers. Takes the handoff. Now Newell on the screen pass, and he gets up for about 5. So Newell has now completed 2 of his last 3 passes. Let's see where they mark in that time. That was Grant Irwin's first reception of the game. Irwin barely played varsity ball until this year, his senior year, trying to get a college scholarship. They give him credit for 5 on that one. So 2nd and 5, just shy of the 50 now, at the playing field at their own 48. So now Isaiah Miller and Grant Irwin lined up to the left, 1 receiver to the right, 1 running back, that's Larrison. Newell in shotgun, takes it. Gives it to Larrison. He's got the room over on the left side. He's got the first down and more past the 45, past the 40. So a nice run there by Troy Larrison. He picks up about 14 yards or so. Let's see what kind of spot he gets. So they move him up to the 39, so 13 yards there. Larrison now 2 for 16 on the ground tonight. So Plainfield now at the Franklin 39. 4:27 to go in the first quarter, trailing 7-0. Franklin scored on their first possession. Now playing field on their first possession. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right now. Newell in shotgun, 1 running back. Takes the snap. Gives it, and he's got a hole up the middle, and he gets about 4. So that'll bring up about 2nd and 6 for the Quakers. That was Larrison again. They give him credit for 3 on that one, so I got Larrison 3 for 19. He was largely shut down last week on the ground against Decatur Central, though he did have the 71-yard touchdown reception on the screen pass on the first play from scrimmage that helped the Quakers build some early momentum. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. And now handoff this time to Antonio Williams with his first rush of the game. and he piles his way forward, gets 3 or 4 yards after contact. We got a scrum here, and he's going to be close to the first down, about 2 yards short. So let's see where they mark it. It looks like he was just shy of the 30 when they marked him down. So 32, so that's the 4 yards for Antonio Williams, who has 4 touchdowns here in the senior season, including 2 last week in the big win over Decatur Central. So now, 2 receivers to each side. Williams running back screen pass complete. We got the first down and more. I believe that's Vanderbush there, and he gets up to about the 27. So, Caden Vanderbush, trying to, you know, follow Big Brother Tate's footsteps, gets 6 yards on that screen pass. So Newell's completed 3 of his first 4, each to a different receiver. So now 1st and 10 for the Quakers at the Franklin 26. Plainfield moving the ball well on this drive. 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Now gives it to Williams. He goes forward, then goes right. Got a little bit of a room, but he's brought down for only 2 or 3. 2:40 to go and counting. Franklin took the opening kickoff, scored with 6:34 to go. Plainfield has the ball now for more than 4 minutes since. So 2 yards there by Antonio Williams. He's 2 for 6 now on the game. So now Isaiah Miller lined up to the left. Noah Hessling and Grant Irwin to the right. Antonio Williams, the running back. Hunter Newell in shotgun. Takes a snap. Gives it to Williams again. He's got some room this time, and we got a flag. Williams gets up to about the 18 or 19, but let's see what the call is. First penalty of the game. Couple officials deliberated, and now let's get the call here. Face mask against the Quakers, so it will be coming back. So the clock stopped now. The clock stops now. 2:03 to go. /7:24 your time of day. You know, this is the 4th time that I have commentated the playing field at Franklin, the first 3 times, 2012, 2014, and 2016. And, you know, that game back in 2012, hold that thought. So now we got Vanderbush and Miller to the right. Irwin and Hessling to the right. The other 2 to the left. Now, Newell takes it, got time. A pass, I think he got a completion for the first down. Yeah, that was Vanderbush. He did get the first. Pickup of about 9 yards there. So Newell's completed 4 of his first 5 to 3 different receivers. Vanderbush 2 for 15 now. So now 2 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. First and 10 for the Quakers at the Franklin 15. Takes the snap, takes the handoff. Screen pass complete inside the 10, and he is thrown down. I think he got the first down there. So these screen passes are very effective so far in the early going for the Quakers. I believe that was Isaiah Miller there. So 1:07 to go, and so it's 1st and goal now for the Quakers at the 5. So I have 4 different receivers catching 5 passes so far for Plainfield. So we got Hessling to the right, 2 receivers to the left. Newell in shotgun. Gives it to Larrison. He slips, and he's brought down around scrimmage. He lost his footing there. Tough break, but hopefully we'll shake it off. Larrison with 2 touchdowns on the season, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. So they got him from -1 there, actually. And now we got an injury. I'll tell you, you go back 3 weeks ago to that Perry Meridian game, Man, I think that's the most injuries I've ever commentated in a game. We had six Perry Meridian players injured in that game, one Plainfield player, and two of the Perry Meridian players who were injured were their top two quarterbacks. Alan DuPont, their promising freshman starting quarterback, was injured in the first quarter, and the offense was just a disaster for the rest of the game after that. And then their backup quarterback, Raul Caldera, was injured in the fourth quarter, and they actually finished the game with their third-string quarterback. His last name was Huckabee. I think Zachary Huckabee, if I remember correctly. But anyway, yeah, the first time I commentated this matchup was 10 years ago. In fact, it was a couple of days ago. I saw my Facebook post. It was the 10th anniversary of that game when Plainfield beat Franklin. I believe 31-14 was the final score. And that was only the seventh game of my career. That was only the second time I ever commentated Plainfield. The first time was the week before their win over Decatur Central. And the game ended in an hour and 58 minutes. That's one of only two games out of 114 varsity games, not counting running clock games, out of 114 varsity games. That's the only one of only two games that I've ever commentated that lasted less than 2 hours. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Antonio Williams is the running back. Plainfield's second and goal at the 6. 21 seconds to go in the first quarter. Franklin 7, Plainfield 0. Quakers still in the first possession, and now we've got a flag there. I'm not sure what it was. The teams weren't even in stance yet. Oh, is that offsides against the Quakers? So now, all of a sudden, first and goal at the 5 turns into second and goal at the 11. Very disappointing turn of events. The clock stops with 16 seconds to go here in the first quarter. So come on, boys, let's just shake it off, get the score here. So now two receivers to the left, one to the right. Williams, the running back, New England shotgun. Takes a snap. Hands off to Williams. And he's stopped for a short gain of just 1 or 2 yards. And that's the quarter. So after one quarter of play here at Franklin, your score, Franklin 7, Plainfield 0. The Quakers, when we come back, will have the third and goal at the 10 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gunnell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITND at MyITND.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Franklin, we're about to start the second quarter here. With your Plainfield Quakers trailing the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 7-0, Franklin scored on their opening possession with 6:34 to go on a 3-yard rush by Sean Shepard. Now Plainfield is on their first possession, and they have the ball third and goal. Let's see where they mark it after that. Third and goal now at the they got the ball marked at the 9. Following that penalty. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Hunter Newell, the quarterback. Antonio Williams, the running back. Trying to get the score here. The snap. He's got a man open in the end zone. Overthrown. Only a second incompletion for Newell on the game. So fourth and goal for the Quakers at the 9 now. Will they go for it? Will they go for a field goal? They should be within Cameron Grimes' range. This will be a 26-yard field goal. He is 16 for 18 on the season on extra points. However, he did miss his only field goal attempt, which was from 25 yards. And it looks like they are going for it. So we've got, it looks like Heslin and Irwin to the right. Two receivers to the left. Vanderbush is one of them. One running back, Newell gets it, he's running for his life. breaks the tackle, throws into the end zone. He makes the incomplete, incomplete. I think he would have been a yard short anyway had he gotten it. But so Plainfield gets first to go at the 5, then Larison trips, loses the yard, and then an offside penalty. An offside penalty hurts the team, and the Grizzly Cubs take over at the 9. Too bad. Now, come on, boys. Let's get a stop here. Franklin is playing with a freshman quarterback in place of junior Clay Panic. Grayson Betts, by the way, is the starter for the Grizzly Cubs tonight. However, Franklin does have its top three running backs. So, still a formidable opponent. And now Shepard gets the ball. He gets up for about 3 or 4. He carried 7 times on the opening possession for 18 yards and a touchdown. Very big guy at 6'2", 235, and they give him credit for 4 yards there. So it'll be 2nd and 6 now for the Quakers. So 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Franklin often uses 3 or 4 receivers on a play, but they have nearly a 3-to-1 rush-pass ratio. So now face the handoff. And now we've got the quarterback, and he dodges a sack. And now gets up. He's going to be close to the first down. He might have it. So Caleb Betts there with his second rush. They got him a yard short. He's 2 for 8 now. No, they said he got the first, so make that 2 for 9 then. So 10:41 to go here in the second quarter. Franklin 7, Plainfield 0. The Grizzly Cubs with the ball. 1st and 10 at their own 19. One receiver to each side. And now we got a direct snap there, and he's up for about 7 yards. That was Aldridge, the second direct snap to him on the game. He got 9 the first time. He picked up about 7 on that one. Or 6 to make it. Betts, you know, a very talented guy, but a small guy, 2 at 5'9", 180. Very good speed, though. So now they line up. They've got Richardson and Richardson to the left, 2 receivers to the right. 1 running back, Betts in shotgun. Now he gives it and this time he breaks through and he's got the first down. The more up to about the 37. So that's Shepard again. Quite the workhorse. He has 9 carries already. 9 for 32. So it'll be 1st and 10 for Franklin at their own 37. 9 for 31 and a touchdown for Shepard. Should be playing college ball a year from now. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right now. Shepard, the running back, Betts in shotgun. Gives it to Shepard again, and this time he's up for 3 or 4. Nothing flashy about Betts, just a lot of power. He's 10 for 35 and a touchdown already. In the early going, 9:02 to go here in the second quarter. Plainfield last week got its first 3-game winning streak in 7 years. Tonight going for their first 4-game winning streak in 14 years. Hard to believe it's been that long, but it's a tribute to the kind of tough schedule that they play every year. So now they swarm Shepard. This time they stop him dead in his tracks, finally. They got him for a loss of about 2 there. So that'll bring up 3rd and long, and we got to get him off the field here. We got to get him off the field. Shepard a little over 3 yards to carry, 11 for 34 and a touchdown. 3rd and 7 for Franklin at their own 40. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Shepard still the running back. Grayson Betts, the freshman, doing a promising job at quarterback tonight. We got to get him off the field here. Snap. He's got time. And he's got a completion for the first down. And he's gets tackled right around the 50. That was Nash Netter there on the reception. Betts has completed 3 of his first 6 passes tonight. That one coming for 10 yards. So we've got to start getting off the field. That's two third and longs that Plainfield, that Franklin has converted already. We've got to start getting them off the field. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. Shepherd, the running back. He'll probably be in there for the bulk of their offensive plays tonight. Betts in shotgun, takes it. He's pressured, rolls to his right. And we got him for a sack. Yes, we got him for a sack. All right. So that'll be only a loss of one, but, you know, still is a good stop there. So 7:14 to go now. We got to start. You know, Betts is only a freshman. He's a small guy. We got to put a lot of pressure on him. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Shepherd, the running back. Betts in shotgun. Second and 11 here, just shy of the 50. And now immediate screen pass is completed, and he gets up for about 5 yards there, so it'll bring about third and six. So it'll be about third and five. They give him credit for six there. So that was Luke Beckert there with his first reception of the game. Thanks to the Franklin crew. I did not catch his number from my vantage point. So four different Grizzly guys have caught a pass tonight. And now are running, and they got the first down. We got a flag here. He's out of bounds just shy of the 30, if it counts. That was Bo Baker there with, I believe, his first carry, but hopefully it's coming back. It's holding, yes, it's coming back, holding against the Grizzly Cubs. All right. Boy, we needed that break. Nearly halfway through the third quarter, to the second quarter, nearly halfway through the second quarter already. Franklin 7, Plainfield 0. This is only the third possession of the game. Franklin consumed nearly half the first quarter on their first possession, got a touchdown. Then Plainfield consumed more than half the quarter, more than half of a quarter on their first possession, turned it over on downs at the Franklin 9. Now the Grizzly Cubs have consumed nearly half a quarter since then. So we could be out of here early tonight. We shall see. Now one receiver to the right. I believe Shepherd is still the running back in there. Grayson Betts, the quarterback. So movement at the line, and we got a flag. I think that one's going to be against Plainfield. So they got 5 yards back, so it goes from third and 16 to third and 11. Nevertheless, we got to get them off the field. They've converted a third and 9 that they capped off with a touchdown. They converted a third and 7 on this drive. We got to get him off the field here. And if I have to sell like a broken record, I will. So anyway, so now we drop back. We pressure Betts, and he throws a screen pass, and we stop him short, about 4 yards short of the first down. Picks up about 7 there. So that was Luke Beckert again with the second reception of the game. The first one also coming on this drive. So it'll bring up 4th and 4 at the Plainfield 44. Beckert, the first receiver with multiple receptions for the Grizzly Cubs tonight. They have 5 receptions overall. So now we've got a man back deep. I think it's Larison to receive the punt. So Larison takes it at the 10. He rolls up to the 15 and is brought down around the 18. So Plainfield takes it over. Only boy, what a crazy game it's been. There's 4:44 to go here in the second quarter, and this is only Plainfield's second possession of the game. First time they turned it over on down at the 9. We got to get a score here. We do get the ball first to start the second half. Come on, boys. Let's get this. Let's keep the momentum going. So now Plainfield, two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back, Newell in shotgun. takes a snap. Low, but he gets it. And now it gives it, I believe that's Larison, and he only gets about two. So that'll bring up second and long for the Quakers. No, I'm sorry, that was Noah Hessing with his first rush of the game. Hessing's first rush. They give him, well, they actually marked him down for a loss there. Well, a loss of two. Plainfield has not had much success rushing today. They've had a lot more success passing. Two receivers each side. Now I believe Hessing is still in there at running back. Snap. The old roast is right. Got some time. Pressure, no, and oh, they got it for a sack, and a big sack. So now that's very concerning, because now that's going to be about a 10-yard loss or more. We'll see what kind of marking they give him. Oh God, that's an 11-yard loss. I mean, so third and 23 for the Quakers at their own five. Now we've just got to run as much of the clock as we can. I mean, if we can come up with an amazing first down here, so be it, but I think, and now Plainfield takes his first time out. But I think at this point, Franklin is just going to try to take away the big play. So let's try to get some yards here, try to get a good punt off. You know, try to get enough yards on this play so that you're not punting from the danger zone near the back of the end zone where you got the greater danger of the block. Man, this is concerning. The thing is, unless we come up with an amazing play, best thing to do is try to get 10 or 12 yards here, get more room to punt, and then keep the Grizzly Cubs keep them from scoring the rest of the half, then get the ball first to start the second half and tie it. Wow, 7:43, your time of day, only 3:10 to go here in the first half. But when we had that hour and 58-minute game, when was that 3 years ago, 10 years ago, excuse me, 10 years ago, you know, that was back when Plainfield was almost an exclusively rushing team. And if I remember correctly, I think Franklin was too. So anyway, two receivers to the right, one to the left. Newell in shotgun. Hands off. Oh, they're right on top of it. Wow. I thought they'd let us have them brought down for a loss of a yard or two. I really thought that they would let us have, you know, maybe a 7 or 8 yard rush. But that shows the aggressiveness of the Franklin defense. And now we are punting in the danger zone after a 1 yard rush there by Hessling. Two rushes for -3 in this game. Franklin's rushing defense has been very good today. Larison at 4 for 18. Williams 2 for 6. Hessling 2 for -3. Newell 2 for -2. So now punting from the back of the end zone. And now it's a punt. It bounces at the, just as I heard, it takes a decent Plainfield bounce, and it's knocked down at about the 38 now. So we got to stop Franklin here. We got to stop Franklin. 2:17 to go, all three timeouts, so they have plenty of time. Well, a very tense game here. I know we're on a three-game losing streak. Believe me, I mean, I'm trying to take a glass-half-full approach. We were 0-3 at one point. Now we're 3-3. We beat Decatur Central last week, got that gorilla off our backs. But I don't want us to lose our momentum. And if we lose this game, I don't want it to be for the wrong reasons. So now handoff again to Shepherd, and he plows his way up for about 4. That seems to be, you know, just a standard play for Shepherd. He powers his way for about 4 on most plays. Already 12 carries in the game for John Shepherd. In the first 6 games, he averaged 12.5 a game. So now they give it to Shepherd again. And this time he's got room on the right side. He's got the first down and more inside the 25, inside the 20. Breaks the tackle. and gets up to about the 10. And now we got a late flag. I hope it wasn't a personal foul. It wouldn't be super costly. It would only be a half the distance from the goal penalty if it's against us. But let's see. It's about a 23-yard rush for Shepherd. He's not a guy who you expect to get a lot of long gains, but he did there. Powered his way up for 23 yards. So a personal foul against the Quakers. So it goes from half the distance from the goal to the 12 to the 6. Boy, we've got to get a stop here. I don't want us to go down 14-0. We've got to get a stop here. 1:39 to go. And the thing is, well, hold that thought. So two receivers to the left, Shepherd the running back, and why not? They give it to Shepherd again. This time, he's swarmed by about five Quakers, and he's brought down right around the line of scrimmage. They were ready for him that time. 1:28 to go. Franklin still with all timeout. Well, all of its timeouts, they lead 7-0, 1:23 and counting to go now. It'll be second and goal at the 6. Their kicker is Patrick Fancher has hit both of his field goal attempts along of 26. So they can still, you know, get the two-possession lead if they don't get the touchdown here. So now one receiver to the right, Shepherd running back. And now they throw into the end zone, and it's overthrown. So that will stop the clock with an even minute to go. Betts has completed five of nine passes for 60 yards in the game. He's showing a lot of promise for a freshman being thrown into the fire in this 5A versus 5A game. And, you know, it can be a liability when you start a freshman, you know, for a varsity football game, but that will pay off down the road, being thrown into the fire like that. It might be a liability as a freshman, but it'll be an asset later on. And now they give it to, he's into the end zone for the touchdown. So Bo Baker, a direct snap, gets the touchdown, and there's that two-possession lead coming with 56.4 seconds to go. So Bo Baker makes it 13-0 with the conversion pending. So Plainfield is in trouble now. And I would imagine, you know, we ought to try to do something when we get the ball, you know, maybe throw a couple of 20-yard passes, see if anything comes out of it. So now Patrick Fancher trying to make it 22 for 23 on the extra point. It is up, and it is good. So Bo Baker, on his first carry of the game, gets a direct snap, takes it in 6 yards for the touchdown. Keep in mind, Plainfield has had only two possessions in this game. They moved the ball well on the first, but semi-self-destructed. They got it first and goal at the 5, then Charlie Larrison slipped, lost the yard, then we had a penalty. Turned it over on downs at the 9. I'll tell you my most painful memory in 11 years of commentating the Quakers of self-destructing when we were in scoring position. You go back to that Zions, when we played Zionsville for the sectional championship back in 2016, and we had a first and goal at the 2, and then a series of losses and penalties took us back to the 34, and we ended up with no points on that drive. And, you know, earlier in the game, we bypassed what would have been a 37-yard field goal by John Hagee, going for it on fourth and short. Came away with no points there also. So we left 10 points on the field in that game, and we lost by 5, 33-28. Man, one of the best games I ever commentated. Unfortunately, we were at the losing end. Hopefully, Coach Woodard will finally get that elusive sectional championship this year. He sure deserves it. Line drive kick, and it looks like it's going to go into the end zone, and it does. So Plainfield with 56.4 seconds to go in the first half, trailing by 14. And Franklin, keep in mind, has all three timeouts, so we can't just kneel off the clock here. 7:51, your time of day, a very fast-paced game. Plainfield, Franklin's had three possessions. Got a touchdown, a punt, and a touchdown. Plainfield got Plainfield had two possessions. They had a turnover on downs and then a punt. Three receivers deep side now. One running back. Newell takes it, drops it back. He's got time. Dodges a sack. And he's got Vanderbush open, and he made the catch. Did he get in bounds? That's the question. Was it in bounds? Vanderbush did catch the ball. I haven't seen the signal yet. Okay, I guess we're saying no. I could not tell from my vantage point if he got a foot down or not. Newell has completed 5 of 9 for 40 yards. The 5 of 9 is pretty good, but we've got to increase the yardage by a wide margin. So two receivers to each side now. 45.9 seconds to go. Second and 10 for the Quakers at their own 20, trailing by 14. Newell takes it. He's got time. Throws downfield. He's got a reception there. He's got the first down, and he gets out of bounds. Good job there by Vanderbush. Picks up about 16. Vanderbush's third reception of the game. They're marking him at the 37, 39.4 seconds to go. We can get something going here. Three receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. Takes the handoff. Newell got time again. He rolls, looks for a receiver, and he gets rid of it. Wisely gets rid of it. So, second and 10 for the Quakers at their own 37, 31.5 seconds to go here in the first half. Franklin 14, Plainfield 7. It's been a very fast-paced game. Plainfield's done well with moving the ball and passing. They have not done much on rushing so far. Despite Franklin playing with their freshman backup quarterback, that does not seem to have affected the Grizzly Cubs. So now Newell's got it. He's got to come. And Miller, we got a late. We got a late hit. All right. So I think it's going to be a personal foul because the receiver, I believe it was Miller, was hit after, like about 2 seconds afterward. He wasn't hit hard, but he was hit. So that will give the Quakers, if it's what I think it is, 15 free yards. And believe me, we'll take every free yard we can get right now. That would move us into Franklin territory. Waiting for the Franklin seems to think it's against them. Yes, all right. Yeah, you know, it wasn't a hard hit, but it looked to me like it was a very avoidable hit. So now Plainfield has the ball in Franklin territory at the 48, 27.6 seconds to go, and two timeouts. So we got a lot of options here. Two receivers each side. We got Miller and Vanderbush to the left. Two brothers to the right. We've got it looks like Brandon Hendry as the running back here. Snap, throws, and it's a completion, and hopefully he got out of bounds. I couldn't tell if he did or not to stop the clock. If not, we'll have to take a timeout. And that was Grant Irwin there. Okay, he did get out of bounds. Good job, Grant. So pickup of 7 there. So second and 3 at the Franklin 41 here. 21.5 seconds to go. Still two timeouts. So now takes it, drops back, plenty of time. And now Newell rushes into himself, and he throws. He's got a completion for the first. No, he dropped it, and it's picked up by Plainfield if it counts as Hendry was right on top of it to recover it. But I think they're saying it was incomplete, which actually works out better for us if that is the case. Yes. So third and 3 at the 41 here. Now 13.7 seconds to go. Still two timeouts. I'll tell you, I don't ever remember a game in 114 games as a varsity commentator where we had this much stopping on the bleachers. So two receivers to each side now, one running back, dual in shotgun. High snap, and he gets it. It's a completion, and he's got inside the 30, inside the 25, and he's the clock will stop. So Grant Irwin, and I think we're going to have to take the timeout immediately here. And that's about a 16-yard pickup by Grant Irwin, his third catch of the game, second on this drive. So Franklin now taking their first timeout. No, I'm sorry, I was Frank. Okay, Plainfield taking a timeout with 7.5 seconds to go. They have time for possibly two more plays. Boy, it'd be great if we could get the touchdown here. It's going to be tough because Franklin is probably just going to be geared to take away the big play. But we'll see. We got to go for it. We do get the ball first to start the second half. So now two receivers to each side, one running back, Newell and shotgun, 7.5 seconds to go, Plainfield first and 10 at the 25. Come on, boys, let's do this here. Newell takes it, got time, throws into the end zone. Oh, he dropped it. He was under good coverage, but he had a shot at it, just didn't get the grip. 2.8 seconds to go now. Newell's completed 8 of 15 passes, 80 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions. He's an even 8-8 on the year. 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He started off 2-7 through the first 3 games. He's 5-1 for the last 3 games. But the only interception being a Hail Mary at the end of a half. So anyway, let's see what happens here. The Quakers do have a timeout left. Will they take it? And I believe they will. Boy, I'll tell you, I thought they were going to take it. I guess not. For three receivers to the left, one to the right. And now Plainfield. No, Franklin takes the timeout. Franklin takes the timeout. So, when we return here, there will be 2.8 seconds to go here in the first half. Plainfield has the ball at the Franklin 25, trailing 14-0. Plainfield does get the ball first to start the second half. It's mostly been a fast-paced game until, slowing down the last few minutes. Franklin has only had 3 possessions now. Plainfield on its third. The Grizzly Cubs with a touchdown, a punt, and a touchdown. Plainfield a turnover on downs at the Franklin 9, a punt, and now they've moved the ball very well on this drive, taking it from their own 20 to the Franklin 25. The passing offense has been pretty good on this drive. We also got the benefit of a 15-yard personal foul against the Grizzly Cubs. So now, barring a defensive penalty, this will apparently be the last play of the half. Plainfield trying to get a score here. On the last play, there was a dropped ball in the end zone. So three receivers to the left, one to the right, one running back, Newell in shotgun. He takes it. No, he isn't. Come on, boys. The snap, good snap. Got time. Throws into the end zone. Got a man. Intercepted in the end zone, and he's trying to run it back. He's got the room, the 15, the 20. We got a late flag, and he's taking it all the way for the touchdown, but I don't think it's going to count. Maybe it will. If it does, then that's – and now we got a Quaker down who appears to be in a lot of pain. The interception was several seconds after the play. The penalty was several seconds after the interception. I think it's going to be against Franklin, which would negate the touchdown. That's why I didn't get too worried on the touchdown, because I had a feeling it was against Franklin. But let's see here. And now we've got a Quaker down. This is not good. The teams are still on the sidelines. We have two officials who are deliberating now. I cannot tell from my vantage point who the injured Quaker is. I've seen him move both his arms and his legs, but now he's lying flat on his back. And, you know, whenever I see an injured player on the field, and now apparently it's against Frank. Well, the officials are still deliberating, but the Quakers are on their way to the locker room now. So, you know, this is a risky move. In case, you know, and now because the Quaker's limping off the field, the injured Quaker, with the help of personnel, and I cannot see his number. But I'm still waiting to find out what has happened, you know, as far as the game. Plainfield is already, and now Plainfield is coming back. And by the way, the last touchdown is not showing on the scoreboard yet. Plainfield is back, but let's see what the call is. Now, I know that a half cannot end on a defensive penalty, but because the flag was not thrown until several seconds after the interception, I assume that the interception would count, and then that Franklin had committed a penalty after. Okay, it's blocking the back against Franklin, but because the interception had already taken place, does that mean that that Plainfield gets another play? Let me see what the call is. Okay, they said the ball will be in Franklin's possession, but there were only 2.8 seconds left, and that play took a lot more than 2.8 seconds, so I don't know what's going on here. So an untimed down. So I assume Franklin will just down it here. They do. So that was the most bizarre end that I ever remember seeing to have happened. 45 years of watching football. So Betts kneels, and that's the end of the first half. So after one half of play here at Franklin, a concerning start. Your Plainfield Quakers three-game winning streak is in danger. They trail the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 14-0 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberis, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITIndy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, The Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Franklin, we're at halftime of a wild and woolly game with your Plainfield Quakers trailing the host Franklin Grizzly Cubs by a score of 14-0. Franklin got the opening kickoff and consumes nearly half of the first quarter, scoring on a three-yard rush by John Shepard with 6:34 remaining, and Patrick Sanchez hit the extra point, making it 7-0. Then on Plainfield's ensuing possession, they were very methodical, got it all the way down to the Franklin 5. However, then on first and goal, Troy Larrison tripped, lost a yard, and then a penalty later on the drive backed up Plainfield, and they ended up turning it over on downs at the 9. Franklin punted on his next possession. However, Plainfield followed with a punt of their own from their own end zone. And then on Franklin's ensuing possession, Bo Baker scored on a 6-yard touchdown rush. With 56.4 seconds to go, Fancher was good on the extra point, making it 14-0. Plainfield took over after a touchback at their own 20, drove the ball down to the Franklin 25. However, on the on their last play with 2.8 seconds to go, Hunter Newell threw an interception on a Hail Mary. And then Franklin appeared to run it back for a touchdown. However, it was negated because of a block at the back penalty. And for whatever reason, there must be some obscure rule that I've missed out on in 45 years of football watching. But Franklin actually got one untimed down from the three and knelt out the clock. So anyway, I'll look at the individual statistics first of all. For Plainfield, Hunter Newell has completed 8 of 16 passes for 80 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. The interception coming on a Hail Mary. So Newell's only two interceptions in the last four games have been on Hail Marys. Grant Irwin has three receptions for 28 yards. Caden Vanderbush has 3 for 32. Noah Heston has 1 for 10, and Isaiah Miller 1 for 10. However, the Quakers have gotten very little going on rushing. Troy Larrison's rushed 4 times for 18 yards. Antonio Williams 2 for 6. Hunter Newell 2 for minus 2, and Noah Heston 2 for minus 3. Meanwhile, for Franklin, freshman quarterback Grayson Betts, starting in place of the usual starter Clay Pinnock, has not played like a freshman. He's completed 5 of 9 passes for 60 yards. Luke Beckert has 2 receptions for 13 yards. Brandon Richardson has 1 for 22. Nash Netter has 1 for 10. And Maxwell Clark has 1 for 15. I'm sorry, that was Bryce Richardson, not Brandon. So Luke Beckert's 2 for 13. Bryce Richardson, 1 for 22. Nash Netter, 1 for 10. And Maxwell Clark, 1 for 15. On the ground, John Shepherd has been the star. He's rushed 14 times for 61 yards and a touchdown, followed by Jack Aldridge, 2 for 15, and Bo Baker, 1 for 6 yards and a touchdown, and Grayson Betts, 4 for 7. Well, at this time, I'm going to take a 5-minute or so snack break while the Franklin Marching Grizzly Cubs play their halftime show, and then I will be back with a look at what Plainfield needs to do in the second half and a few other tidbits. And until then, don't you go changing. Thank you. Well, back here at Franklin, where we're at halftime, 12:31 to go on the halftime clock. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't know where, this is my 11th year of commentating high school football and sports in general for AudioSportsOnline.com and with the Plainfield Quakers in particular. And I don't know what's happened, you know, like, you know, I remember it seemed like the first several years, the press always got pizza, you know, at least for most of the games. And now this is my first game of the year. And let's see, there was, let me think. Oh, we got no food service. No, we always got like just like a snack tray, like some crackers and stuff, and like I think cheese slices at Harrison. Got no food service at all at Perry Meridian. Then at Greenwood, my son and I were sitting. We weren't even sitting in the visiting press box because they didn't have room for us. You know, we were sitting in the bleacher, the visiting bleacher. I did go over and snatch a soda, a 12-ounce can of soda from the main press box. Tonight, they actually have some food service. They actually have Jimmy John's wraps. Sorry, I don't want any because they look like they have mayonnaise. I just do not like mayonnaise at all. But, you know, I grabbed a little brownie and a... and oatmeal raisin cookies, so that'll give me a little bit of energy. It's, so my son and I are going to get dinner on the way home. But anyway, oh, my son just told me they don't have mayonnaise. I'll pass on them anyway. We'll just stop at a drive-thru on the way home. You know, in this fast-paced society, it is so easy to get in the habit. And it's so easy to get in the habit of taking your kids through fast food drive-thrus too often. I hope I don't do it too much, but I mean, you know, coming home from a game as a treat, it's okay once in a while. So anyway, getting back to the game here. For those of you just joining us, Plainfield is trailing Franklin 14-0 right now here in the here at halftime. Each team has had only 3 possessions. Plainfield does get the ball first to start the second half. It's very important that they score on this first possession, because otherwise Franklin, who has consumed a lot of time on their drives tonight, could easily get us down into the latter half of the third quarter before we get the ball back. And if they got a score on top of that and made it a 3-possession game, that would be nearly insurmountable. Now, our passing offense has been decent. Larson's completed an even half of his passes, 8 of 16, 3 each to Vander Bush and Irwin. But, you know, we're going to have to start doing some big yardage plays, and we're going to have to start getting something going on the ground. You know, we've done all things considered. You know, we haven't let their rushing offense go crazy on us. I mean, rushing defense has been our strong suit all year. But I think what we need to do is start putting more pressure on their freshman quarterback. He's not only a freshman, but he's a little guy at 5'9", 180. And, again, we've got to establish the run, and we just got to finish drives and then make some stops on defense. If we do that, we still got a fighting chance to come back and win this game and get our first 4-game winning streak since all the way back in 2008. But anyway, right now, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about next Friday night, our next home game, where we play Whiteland. Who actually last week was the number 1 ranked team in Class 5A before they had an upset loss to Martinsville, a Class 4A team, who's going to be our opponent 2 weeks from tonight on the road. And, you know, it's painful to think about, but 1 week from tonight, well, it's our senior day, for, you know, which is always special, but it also could be the final home game ever for head coach Brian Woodard. He's in his 17th and final season as head coach. He's in his 26th year at the school. He's 48 years old, so he's been at Plainfield since he was only 22, just out of the University of Evansville. He emphasizes that he's not retiring. He's open to remaining in coaching as a college assistant, but he said he's done as a head coach at the end of the season. Tyler Bless, the son of former Columbus North coach Tim Bless, and the nephew of Avon coach Mark Bless, is the head coach designate. He will be taking over at the end of the season. And I think he's going to lead us into the best era of Quaker football ever, and Coach Woodard certainly will be partly responsible for it, for setting it up for the last 17 years. But all that to say, you know, we hope that Plainfield will have home playoff games. We think they will. There's a good chance for it. This is the weakest sectional they've been in their 8 years in Class 5A. They're going to have a good shot to get Coach Woodard his elusive sectional championship this year. I sure hope so. He thoroughly deserves it. But regardless, we have to be prepared for any eventuality. You know, it is, you know, I think we would almost certainly beat McCutcheon if we played them in the first round. Harrison and Decatur Central, it would be about a 50-50 proposition in each case. So, you know, we could play at Harrison or Decatur Central in week one of the playoffs and lose. I hope not, but it's possible. So let's make sure that next week we get several thousand crazy Quaker fans out there at Red Pike Stadium and give a big thank you to Coach Woodard for everything he's done for the last 26 years for this school and this football program. You know, he's someone who will live forever fondly in the hearts of Quaker fans, whether he gets the sectional championship or not. And when the Quakers have greater success in the future, then he will have been a big reason for it. So hopefully we'll pack the stands next week and, you know, pack the standing room and make a lot of noise and give Coach Woodard a great send-off. But, you know, hopefully we will have home playoff games too. But anyway, with 5:48 to go in halftime, I just want to say a few words. You're just reflecting back at my visits to Franklin in the past. I remember we were back here. Well, I remember I was back here alone. It was only the seventh game of my career. It was a game that took only 1 hour and 58 minutes. It was on September the 28th of 2012, 10 years and 2 days ago. And, you know, it's the second shortest non-running clock varsity football game that I've ever commentated. I've commentated about four or five that went to a running clock. But as far as games that did not, the shortest one ever was an hour and 54 minutes 3 years ago, Plainfield at Whiteland, because Whiteland rarely ever passes at all. But that game with Plainfield at Franklin right here at this beautiful stadium here in Franklin, Plainfield, if I remember, well, that was the year when the starting quarterback was Jacob Jay and the star running back was Austin Blevins. And about two out of every three plays, it was simply, and Plainfield was running the I formation a lot there as well. And I think, if I remember correctly, Franklin ran the I-formation also in that game. So it was really, really fast. And Plainfield pulled out the win. I believe it was 31-14. And then J.P. Sinclair and I commentated here this matchup in 2014, which was a much-needed Quakers win that year. They started off 1-5. I mean, maybe the most injured team I have ever seen in 45 years of football watching. Although the Quakers, you know, they got on track for the playoffs. They started to get healthy, first of all, and then sophomore wide receivers Dante Keys and Gavin Ritter, both of whom went on to play college ball. They both started to emerge as stars later in the year and give junior quarterback Colin Nicewander some good targets to throw to, and Nicewander, you know, that made Nicewander a more effective player. And Colin Nicewander to this day remains one of my all-time favorite Quakers that I have ever commentated. You know, maybe I feel a connection to him because, you know, he was 5'10 and 165. I happen to be 5'10 and right around 165, and God, I can imagine, you know, what a struggle it would be for me to be a quarterback with my very limited physical skills. You know, I've long said I had the brain type to be a quarterback. Unfortunately, I did not get the physical tools to do it. I got the mental tools, not the physical tools. I have a very analytical brain type, but I just don't have athletic ability. And you know what's ironic is I have two highly achieving athletes in my family. My maternal uncle, Bob Wishman, was a member of Milan's 1954 state championship team in boys basketball that inspired the movie Hoosiers. And then my paternal second cousin, Brian Moore, was a quarterback for the University of Georgia from 1988 to 92, including a redshirt year. In fact, his senior year, he played in five games as the backup to Eric Zier, who went on to play 6 years in the NFL. And the funny thing was about it, you know, we had my immediate family had lost touch with Brian and his family. His dad and my dad are first cousins. And we had just completely lost touch with that part of the family for about 20 years. And then I saw Brian at a family reunion in 2002, and somebody told me he played quarterback for the University of Georgia. I was like, wow, that's super cool. and you and I actually played catch together. So the only time that an SEC quarterback has ever thrown balls to me, so that was really cool. And in fact, that piece of trivia about being a second cousin of Brian Moore is on my IMDb profile. I'm an actor in addition to a sports commentator, so I made sure I added that there. And I wish I had known when he was playing there, because I would have tried to go to one of his games, maybe at Kentucky or Vanderbilt. In fact, my dad actually went to Vanderbilt, so maybe he could have gotten me some special deal on tickets. But anyway, we've got 1:13 to go now in the game. And, oh, I forgot to mention, when Playfield played here at in 2016, the last time I was here commentating, I remember about three plays or so into the game, maybe a little more than that, not much, we had a lightning delay, and I actually talked through the entire lightning delay and, you know, commentated through the finish of the game. And that game has one of probably the top three or four plays I've ever commentated. Gavin Ritter made an incredible one-handed grab on a touchdown. He caught a one-handed Ben Slayton was our quarterback at the time. He was a sophomore. And he actually, Ben Slayton set several Playfield passing records that year that still stand. And Gavin Ritter made a one-handed catch and took it all the way for the touchdown. And I totally freaked out on that call. That was an amazing catch there by Ritter. It was ESPN Play of the Day material, and I'm not exaggerating. Hopefully, I think it might be on Huddle or, you know, one of those recruiting sites. I'll look for it, because it's spectacular. But it was Playfield at Franklin back in 2016. Gavin Ritter made the catch. That was incredible. And, I still have great memories of those three games. And then I was here at the high school one other time. You know, I mentioned that I'm an actor. I was actually here one time and acted in a short film called Bite, made by a director by the name of John Moriarty. And I was in a rock concert scene. I was in the concert. And I remember that they had the concert in the auditorium here at the school. And they advertised it on the internet. I think only it seemed like only a day or two in advance. And, of course, there are a good number of actors in Indianapolis. But Franklin's far enough out of the city that it was hard to get actors down here. And we ended up only with about 20 people for the concert scene. And the director, John Moriarty, told me that they had about as few people as they could have had and pulled it off. So, anyway, that was fun. I think the movie is on YouTube now. It's called Byte, B-Y-T-E. Not B-I-T-E, but B-Y-T-E, like the computer-related thing. What is a byte? Now, Liam says he thinks it has something to do with storage or something. That's probably a better answer than I would give. He's 17. He knows more about that stuff than I do. He's 17, and he has an even more technical brain type than I do. He's an elevator expert. In fact, if you want to check him out, you can check out on YouTube. He has an elevator page called Elevator Dude. So feel free to subscribe and, you know, ring that bell, as he would say. He films elevators as a hobby. He's filmed, how many of you films now, Liam? Almost 400, okay. Yeah. Mostly in the Indianapolis area and a few others outside of the area and a few in other states. But anyway, so now the teams are back on the sideline. And, you know, my broadcast partner, Rob Kindle, said a few weeks ago he doesn't understand why they run 15 minutes for the halftime clock and then another 3 minutes, why they don't just do 18 minutes. That's one of, you know, life's great mysteries to me also. But now the teams are back on the field now. 46 seconds to go on the halftime clock. And so Plainfield will look at the ball first, trailing 14-0. They got to get something going on this drive. Like I said, we got to get some rushing going. We got to get some long gains. And most of all, we got to get some points, and then the defense has to get some stops. The defense has done fairly well, all things considered, but I think we need to put more pressure on this freshman quarterback, Grayson Betts. He's showing a lot of promise, and, you know, I'll tell you, you know, if you're a Franklin fan, you know, you're excited about having that young man back for 3 years, but, you know, one of the things that's gone wrong with Coach Brian Winters is bad luck with personnel. Twice he had a very promising freshman quarterback who he thought he was going to have 4 years, and he did. First Vince Slayton, and then Carson Melvin. So, you know, I quote the rock group Sticks a lot. They're one of my favorites. Sometimes in a tough situation, I quote them by saying, these are the times we find out who we really are. And in regard to those two quarterbacks who we lost prematurely, I say nothing ever goes as planned. So, hopefully Coach Woodard's career will have a happy ending. We shall see. He deserves it. He's done so much for this program for 26 years now, including 17 years as a head coach. You know, he's talked about being an assistant coach at a small college. Maybe he'll become an assistant coach down the road at DuPont in Greencastle, where his son Blake is playing now on the team as a freshman. Blake was a senior from Plainfield last year. Got us the go-ahead touchdown in the opener at Greenfield Central in that big win. So now, 8:29, the time of day. Looks like this is going to be a late one here. The kickoff goes deep. It's fielded around the 5, brought up to the 10, 15, and he slips. He slips. So that's the second time a Plainfield player has slipped tonight. I believe that was Isaiah Miller there. No, that was Antonio Williams, excuse me. Larison slipped, you know, and it was very costly. Larison slipped at the 5. I wonder if there's any wetness on the field. I don't think there's been any rain here at Franklin all day. I didn't see any back in Indianapolis. So now the Quakers take over. 11:55 to go here in the third quarter, trailing 14-0. Only their fourth possession of the game. They got to get something going here. They got Vanderbush out to the left, 3 receivers to the right, one running back. Low snap, and he gets it. And he's got a man open. It's caught at the 35, up to about the 40, so that's the kind of play we need. All right. Who was that? I believe it was Irwin. Grant Irwin, yes, with his fourth catch of the game. And that's a pickup of about 27 yards. All right. So Irwin now 4 for 55 on the game. Let's build from there. Now takes it off complete pass again. I believe it's Vanderbush over the right side. He's up for about 8. Yes, that was Vanderbush. So Newell completed his first 2 passes here of the second half. Moves the ball up to the 50. Vanderbush now with his fourth reception. And now a handoff, and this time he's up for about 2 or 3. Let's see what kind of spot they give him. I think he got the first down. That was Larison there. Yes, he got the first down. All right. So first and 10 at the 48 now for the Quakers. 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Plainfield getting some momentum going. Hands off to Larison again. And this time he breaks through the line, gets up for about 3, so he'll bring up about 2nd and 7. Troy Larison now, running very aggressively. You can tell that we got him from the track and field team. He gets 3 there. So 2nd and 7, 10:49 to go here in the third quarter. Plainfield trying to make a 14-point deficit to receivers to each side now. Larson is still there at running back. Newell in shotgun. Takes the snap, drops back. Screen pass. It is complete for a short gain. He's going to be about 3 or 4 yards short of the first down. And that was Grant Irwin again. So that'll be 3 yards there. So a big third and four now for the Quakers after that 3 yard screen pass there. Two receivers to each side now. And now the pass is blocked. The pass is blocked. So that's Newell's first incompletion of the second half after completing his first three. So that'll bring up fourth and four. A very critical fourth and four at the Franklin 42. I'd imagine we will go for this. Boy, I'll tell you, I apologize if the stomping on the bleachers, it's just been relentless for much of the game. I apologize if it's interfering with the broadcast. I appreciate the enthusiasm of these Franklin fans, but I certainly hope it's not interfering with the game here. So two receivers deep side. And now he throws deep. He's got a man open. He's got it. It is inside the 10. The 5. He dives. Touchdown. Yes. Yes. And we're back in this game. All right. I didn't see who it was. I'm still trying to... see. All right, I did not see that the touchdown. Trying to figure it out. In the meantime, we've got the Cameron Grimes hit his first 16 extra point, and now we got a flag on the extra point. So now, that was a great job. By the way, it should be noted that was a conversion on fourth and four, so the Quakers came through with the eye of the tiger when it counted the most. So now the extra point. Now it's backed up, and it is up, and it is no good. So we're down by 8, but it still is a one-possession game. A 42-yard touchdown pass on 4th and 4. And certainly that's you know, should be a big confidence builder for Newell as well. He has 162 passing yards now on the game. No, they didn't. So now Plainfield with the one possession deficit, 9:52 to go in the third quarter, back in this game. Played very well on that drive. Now we just got to get a stop here. The thing is, though, if we get a touchdown, you know, we got to get the 2-point conversion. And now Cameron Grimes, granted that last one was backed up 15 yards, but now all of a sudden, after hitting his first 16 extra points, he's missed his last three. So I hope that doesn't come, you know, back to haunt him psychologically. Deep kick now by the Quakers. And it's fielded now. And now he's got some room on the left side of the field. Up to the 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40, 35, up to about the 32. That was Bo Baker. So now the pressure really cranked up on the Plainfield defense. So we'll see, you know, how the Quakers off, how the Grizzly comes off and handles this now. Okay, so now Franklin takes over first and 10 at the Plainfield 32 with a 14-6 lead. Now a handoff, I believe that's Shepherd again, and he drags a few receivers with him and gets up about 5 yards. Okay, so the announcer just confirmed it was Noah Hessen who got the touchdown there. So anyway, good job, Noah. That was his second of the game. Second reception, that is. So now, back up. Best throws deep. He's under, and it's overthrown. All right. So bring up third and four. We got to stop him here. I assume that Franklin would go for it on fourth down, but yeah, Best, you know, a pesky little guy. He's got a lot of speed, and that really helps him. But we've got to put more pressure on him. So two receivers to the right, one to the left, third and four for the Grizzly Cubs. Now they give it to Shepherd, and he breaks through, and he's got the first down and more inside the 20. That's going to be a gain of about 10 yards there. So now the defense really cranked up on the Plainfield defense. 16 for 76 and a touchdown by my count for John Shepherd. Nothing flashy, but man, does he have power. So two receivers to the right, one to the left, one running back. Shepherd's still in there. Grayson Betts, the freshman, starting this game for the Grizzly Cubs. And now, I think it was a direct snap to Shepherd, and he's inside the 10, inside the 5, and down at about the 4. Let's see what kind of spot they give him, but he's going to be close to the end zone and giving the Grizzly Cubs that two-possession lead back. So 14 yards there by Shepherd. I believe it was a direct snap to him. Come on, we got to get a stop here, boys. First and goal at the 3 for Franklin. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Shepherd there. If I were a betting man, I bet he gets it again. He does. Although we were on top of him this time, we bring him down right around the line of scrimmage. So they could give it to him a couple of times and then try to throw us off by throwing a pass. We shall see. Coming into the night, Beth has completed 11 of 13 passes. I have him 5 for 10 in this game. Second and goal now for the Grizzly Cubs. 7:50 to go now and counting. And now, takes the handoff. And now, did he get it? Touchdown on the pass. Maxwell Clark. So, a strike up the middle from freshman Grayson Betts to Maxwell Clark. That was Clark's second reception of the game. Fans were trying to go 3 for 3 on the game on extra points, 23 for 24 on the year, 20-6 now with the conversion pending. It is up and it is good. So it only takes a minute, it only takes 2 minutes and 11 seconds for the for the Grizzly Cubs to answer the Quakers' score. So now the pressure cranked up on our offense. But I give Grayson Betts, that little freshman, all the credit in the world. And I mean, 5'9", 140, not 5'9", 180, 5'9", 180, excuse me. Man, you know, that's short for a starting high school quarterback. You know, especially when you consider, you know, the danger that these guys are of getting hit. We got to get something going here, and then the defense is going to have to get a stop. You know, Coach Brian Woodard is one of the more daring coaches I've had the pleasure of commentating over these last 11 seasons. You know, we might have to do something crazy like an onside kick. I mean, an onside kick when you normally wouldn't expect it. like the Saints did to us in the Super Bowl that year. Come on, boys, let's get something going. 7:41 to go in the third quarter. Plainfield trailing 21-6. And I'll tell you, it was fatal when they got that. And now fielded it up to 7, right up to the 10, 40, and he's got some speed going there. That was Williams again. Gets us up to the 24 or 25. So now we've got, for the playing field, wow, we got a very aggressive formation. Well, we got 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left, 1 running back. New Orleans shotgun, 7:35 to go in the third quarter, trailing by 15. Come on, boys. Newell gets it. He's got time. Throws, he's got a completion. Weaves around. He's going to be close to the first down. That's going to be about a gain of 8 or 9. That was Noah Hessling there. Hessling's been fairly quiet today. He had a career game a couple of weeks ago at Greenwood. Picks up 8 there. So 2 receivers each side now. Newland shotgun with 1 running back. Takes a snap. And now he runs with it himself, and he stood up the first down. That's going to be really close. We'll see the spot. He was close to getting hit, and he went ahead and slid. He might have been a yard short. It's going to be really close here. And if it is short, it's going to be a very critical 3rd and 1. Yeah, it looks like it is short. So we're going to have, this is, okay, no, that's 2nd. And so they said he made the first down last time after all. It looked like they marked him down 2 yards short, so sorry about that. So 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Now Newell, screen pass, it's caught, and he had to reach down to get it. Okay, I guess, but they said his knee was down when he caught it. So now Newell on 3rd, he's got some time. He's got a man open. He's got it for the first down. Yes, good job. That was Vanderbush there. Good job by Vanderbush. Picks up about 11 on a critical 3rd and long. Holding it at Plainfield, so it's coming back. I did not see the flag. Sorry about that. Let's see. Wow, it's coming way, way, way back. So now all of a sudden, let's see. So now about 3rd and 26 now. 2 receivers each side, 1 running back, Newell. Trying to get something going. Now he throws deep. He's got a man open. If he made the catch inside the 45, inside the 40. All right. Oh, my God, did we ever need that. Noah Hessling getting up and making the first down sign, which is an understatement because we gained. That's a gain of 42 yards there. All right. So we're in business here. And that Newell now has, by my count, over 200 yards with that one. So now Newell on first down, and it's incomplete. Intended for Irwin. 5:03 to go here in the third quarter. Plainfield trailing Franklin 21-6. The Quakers have the ball second and 10 at the 40, following a 42-yard play on an outstanding third down conversion. It was third and 26, and he connected with Noah Hessling. So it's good to see the Quakers, you know, playing with that kind of urgency and coming through. Now he's got to finish off the drive here. So now a high snap, and he gets a throw to Isaiah Miller. He's got the catch inside the 30, and he plows his way up to about the 28. He's got the first down. Miller with his second catch of the game. The first one was for 10. That one is for 11. Now, by my count, now, Hessling has thrown 26 passes. And when you start throwing that much in the game, you very often lose because it means you're in a desperate situation. But we'll see what happens here. First and 10 at the Franklin 29. Now, gives it to Williams. He's got room on the right side, past the 25, up to about the 23 or 24. Antonio Williams has been very quiet in this game. He only had 2 carries for 6 yards in the first, only 2 for 6 in the first half. He got about as many on that play, 4:17 to go in town. You got to give him credit for 6. So second and 4 now for the Quakers. Come on, boys. You can do this here. So two receivers now to the left. We've got, it looks like, Noah Hessling and Grant Irwin. One running back, Newell in shotgun. Takes it. Now it throws it over, and it's just too low. Too low. So now a very critical third and 4. Keep in mind that, you know, on our last possession, we got a touchdown on a 42-yard pass on fourth and 4. And then on this drive, on third and 26, we got a 42-yard completion. So what is it with coming up with 42-yard plays when we're in the hole? Maybe we should be in the hole more often. Maybe that would bring out some big plays in us. So anyway, 3 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Newell in shotgun, 1 running back. Takes a snap. Screen pass. He's got the first down inside the 20. I believe it was Hessling. So that's a pickup of 7 yards there. So first and 10 now at the 16, and now we got about a 5-yard rush up the middle there. That was Antonio Williams again. He only carried twice in the first half. Now he's carried twice on this drive. Picks up 5 there. He's had a quietly effective year with 4 touchdowns, including 2 last week in the big win over Decatur Central. So now 2nd and 5 at the 11 for the Quakers. Trying to make it a 1-possession game here. Under 3 minutes to go in the third quarter now. Game 7 of 9 in the regular season. 2 receivers to the left, 1 to the right. Got the ball, screen pass, it's completion to Larrison inside the 5. He dives at the end zone. He's going to be a little short, but he's got the first down. So that's Larrison's first reception of the game. So, yeah, they've got... So it looks like they got it down to the 2 here. So, and now hand off there to Larrison. He dives. I think he's got it. Oh, no. He fumbled. Oh, no. And Franklin's returning for a touchdown. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. This is terrible. Oh, my God. Oh, no. And that was... and that was Bo Baker there. He scored a touchdown in, earlier on offense. Now he scores one on defense when Larison was about to take it in. It must have come out just right about a foot short. Oh, my God, that is terrible. That is, oh, God. I am just sick right now. Oh, my God. It was about to be a one-possession game. Now it's a three-possession game. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I am just sick right now. Oh, no. And the kick is up, and it is good. So Fancher is 4-for-4 on the game. Oh, my God. And, you know, you just wonder what that does to the morale of this team. I know 4 weeks ago when we ended that Mooresville game, we were down. You know, we were 0-3. It looked bleak. We came back with 3 wins in a row. Granted, 2 of them, it looked like we had a good shot to get going in, Perry, Meridian, and Greenwood. Decatur Central, even in a down year, they were ranked 12th, and they had beaten us 13 straight times. So that was, you know, it still was a game where it was far from a guarantee, and we worked hard, and we did pull it out. But, God, that... I mean, and you know, it's ironic. I was just talking last week about how there were 2 plays during that 13-game losing streak to Decatur Central that really sums it up. That really sums it up, and one of them was in the 2019 playoff game where they were lead. Decatur Central led 7-0. Then we got the ball at the 30 of the ensuing possession. Jarrett Steven took up 67 yards to the 3. Then on that drive, when it looked like we were about to tie it and make it 7-7. There was a scrum near the goal line. One of the Tracy kids emerged from the pile with the ball in a clear pass to the end zone. And what should have been 7-7 was now 14-0, and that set the tone for the whole game. And now the kickoff, I think they take the kickoff up to about the 40. I believe that was Larison there trying to, you know, look like he wanted to, you know, take that all the way. So, I mean, we got to get something going soon, though. 2:23 to go with 3-possession deficits. We're not out of it, but we have no margin for error. We can't leave any more points on the field. We've had 2 turnovers now inside the Franklin 10, and that is the difference in this game. We trail 21-6. I thought coming in this was about a 50-50 game. Franklin at 4-2, ranked number 8th in the state in Class 5A. We're ranked 12th. So 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left now. Makes the handoff. No, he does get, he gets the handoff. He doesn't get much. He does get out of bounds for about a yard. At least it does stop the clock, which is important at this point. Trailing by 3 possessions, 2:16 to go in the first quarter. Larison ran all the way over to the left side looking for some room. Only got a yard. So 2nd and 9 at our own 41 now. So now Newell has got plenty of time. Screen pass, it is complete, but they hit him. But he stays on his feet and he gets back to about the line of scrimmage. So now, 3rd and 10 now for the Quakers at the 3rd and 10 at their own 40. They got to get something going here. And now they give, and I don't know what the, maybe they thought that, you know, Franklin would be anticipating a pass and we could, you know, get Larison open for a breakthrough, but as it is, they were ready for him and he lost one. So it looks like we are going to punt. God. Yeah, this is very disheartening. I mean, again, I thought this was about a 50-50 proposition coming in here, but, you know, we're just, you know, it's just not executing well enough. That's the bottom line. We're against, you know, a good team. Maybe the best team we've played all season. They are Mooresville. I wouldn't think Harrison, although Harrison is good. So Franklin takes over at the 34. So now Shepherd gets the ball for about 4 yards or so. And I'm sorry if I just seem so disheartened here, but man, what a backbreaker that play was. And it's just, man. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. We just can't let this define our season, you know, if this turns into a loss. And now, this time, Caleb Owens gets it. And that's the end of the third quarter. So your Plainfield Quakers looks bleak now. There looks like their three-game winning streak is coming to an end. They trail the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 28-6 here on AudioSportsOnline.com. We'll be back with the conclusion of the game after these words from our sponsors. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Gannell Financial, Julia Berberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Turley Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyITindy at MyITindy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BGW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Whitlow's Towing. Thank you, business partners. Your support of the student-athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Franklin, we're about to start the fourth quarter of this game with your Plainfield Quakers. Apparently headed for a loss, they trail the Franklin Grizzly Cubs 28-6 here, and it gave a missed opportunity. And now, oh, we did get a stop, so that'll be a fourth and long now. Yeah, that's the problem. They're playing with a backup freshman quarterback, and we just haven't pressured him enough. So it'll be, and that was a direct snap to Bo Baker, though. So now it's a, the Quakers punt. It takes a Plainfield bounce, so we're going to get it close to midfield. So if we get a quick touchdown here, you know, we will be, you know, we will have some chance. Plainfield will take over at their own 46. So now, Plainfield lines up two receivers to the right, one to the left. Low snap, but he gets it. Hands it off. He's got some room here, and he's got the first down here. I believe that was Larrison. He got just the 10 yards he needed, but let's see. I think we got a flag here. It's going to be holding against the Quakers, so it will be coming back. Thank you. So now the Quakers take the ball now at, it'll be 2nd and 17 at their own 39, trailing by 22 points, 11-11 to go now in the game. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. They're going to have to start getting some big yardage in place here. Newell drops back, got time. And now he dodges a sack. He's got to get rid of it, and he's still on his feet. Amazingly, he's done a good job dodging it, and now he does get rid of it. Oh man, he did a good job at least getting rid of it. Wow. And now so that'll bring up 2nd and long for the Quakers. So now we got a flag immediately. Newell throws deep. He's got a completion for the first down on the far side of the field. And it was Noah Hessling made the reception, but will it count? So that's two flags now in three plays. And this is against Plainfield also. Illegal motion. So Plainfield just absolutely self-destructing since they got that touchdown to start off the third quarter and making it a one-possession game. Absolutely self-destructing. There was the kickoff return to our 32. The fumble return, the 99-yard fumble return for the touchdown. And now the penalties to the last three plays. And now the Quakers, 2nd and super long. Newell throws deep downside, and it's going to be overthrown. So that's going to be, it's going to be 3rd and about 22. Well, we still got two games to tune up for the playoffs. We've got to learn, we've got to learn from the mistakes that have done us in this game. So now Newell running for his life, and Newell has done a lot better getting rid of it lately. He did not get rid of it there like he needed to. He has, in all fairness to Newell, he has not played badly tonight. He's played relatively well, but there's so many mistakes being made around him. He himself has not made a lot of mistakes tonight. He's steadily improved throughout the season, and I think he's going to, make a push for a college scholarship next year. And they got him for -8 there. Goodness. So the kick of the punt, it bounces just shy of the 50. Now it takes a Franklin bounce, and it's down around the 46. Well, goodness. I'll say, this assuming that Franklin holds on to win this game, which is highly probable now, this will break a personal 5-game winning streak for me as a commentator, because not only has Plainfield won its last three varsity games, but also the freshman and JV games against Prairie Meridian a couple of weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, and now a complete pass there to Maxwell Clark for a gain of about 12. Well, the numbers for Grayson Best, not spectacular, but certainly solid for a freshman. He's completed 7 of 12 passes for 75 yards and a touchdown. Now John Shepherd, and he can go all the way for the touchdown, and he does. Oh, my God. And, you know, you just wonder if Plainfield just quit on that play. I mean, our guys normally don't quit, but maybe in the course of frustration, they just subconsciously. Very disappointing turn of events here at Plainfield. Let's finish the game on a strong note, at least. It's absolute, absolute self-destruction here. I don't know if I've ever seen Plainfield self-destruct this badly. So 5 for 5 on the game on extra points for Patrick Fancher. Oh my God. God, I just feel absolutely, absolutely sick. I hope so much we get this turned around. It is still possible. Well, we have a lot of work to do, starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. And I'll tell you, I would not want to be on that bus back to Plainfield tonight. You know, if Brian Woodard were Coach Bob Knight, you know, this basically, I think all the players would be running the steps of Assembly Hall. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. And for those of you who don't know, running the steps was punishment for the players. Running the steps of Assembly Hall was punishment for Mike's players. Well, you know, when you love somebody or something, it means going through everything together, the good times and the bad times. We've been through a lot of good times the last 3 weeks. Now we're rediscovering bad times tonight. And now a short kick. And any bubbles that we do recover it are on the 26th. So now Plainfield with the ball trying to get something going. And we got Larison with a decent game. But so that's two games in a row where Troy Larison has just not gotten a lot going on the ground. And keep in mind, Larison, he's a senior, but this is his first year of varsity ball. You know, his speed has helped us at times. He is the team's leading rusher on the season. He's done some good things. 2 touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. Their receiving touchdown was a 71-yard touchdown last week. So Troy Larison, they give it to him again, and he doesn't get much. So bringing up third down, 8:20 to go. Plainfield still time to, you know, get a score or two to at least finish the game on a positive note. So now Newell drops back to pass. And he dodges the tackle. He's got through on the left side, and he runs out of bounds, but he's still going to be short of the first down. At least a good effort by Newell. Another thing we haven't, I don't think we've really let Antonio Williams do enough tonight, only 4 carries. He did get 50 yards out of him. So now Plainfield at 4th and 5. The punt takes a really long Plainfield bounce inside the 30, down at about the 28. Well, what do we do now? 7:58 to go, I would imagine. And by the way, it is not out of the question now that we could have a running clock in this game if Franklin gets a touchdown. And what a sad turn of events that would be. I hope it doesn't happen. First of all, I don't want us to give any more. I don't want us to give up any more points. Second of all, I want us to have a couple of possessions to do something good. Of course, we'll see how long. Caleb Owens there on the rush. Got him for an auger, gain of one. Two receivers to, and now we got a flag here. And now the quarterback is pressured, and, and he gets rid of it. And that's something that we really should have, I think we should have been doing a lot more tonight, which is pressuring that, that little freshman. Make him run for his life the way that Newell's been made to run for his. And Newell, by the way, for as much as he's been pressured tonight, it's amazing that he's been sacked as few times as he has. I mean, he's shown a lot of good elusiveness tonight. So Newell, when you look at the score 35-6, you think our quarterback didn't have much of a game, but I think Newell was better than the team tonight. He didn't play as well as he's played the last three games, especially, against Greenwood, where he played, I think, the best game of his career so far. But, he's still been decent. And, I still think he's going to have a very big senior season to get a college scholarship. And now an incomplete pass there by Betts. So 7:08 to go. 9:14, your time of day. Looks like a few Plainfield fans have left, not many. Well, three receivers to the left, one to the right. Betts. He's got plenty of time. He throws a long bomb, and it's incomplete. And we got a flag. Possibly pass interference, but let's see. Maybe they just thought they wanted to give the kid a chance to throw deep tonight, And he seems to have a good arm. So yeah, I would imagine that he's going to be doing a lot of good things for this program over the next 3 years. So, pass interference, so it'll be a first down for the Grizzly Cubs. 6:59 to go, Franklin 28, Plainfield 6. And I apologize if I seem like I'm just, not with it tonight mentally, but this game, this second half has just been so draining to me mentally. And I apologize for that. Nobody loves Quaker football more than I do. Nobody loves these kids in this program and this community of Plainfield more than I do, so. It just hurts, but, we just got to bounce back. Like Rocky Balboa says, it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. So, and now he's a fumble, and Plainfield recovers, so he brings up to the 35. So, all right. Nice recovery there by Isaac Masculier. I think it would be Masculier in French. I actually studied French on Duolingo, and I'll tell you, I think I can sort of read French visually when I just see the writing, but I have a very hard time deciphering it when spoken. I think my ears would have to really get tuned to hearing the language as opposed to, like, for example, I took 4 years of German, and that's such a harsh, blunt language. So two receivers to the left, now one to the right. Newell still in there. Gives it to Antonio Williams. And he spins around, gets him about 5 yards. Only the fifth carry by Williams on the game, though. I think he's been too absent from our game plan tonight. Gets five there. 6:31 to go and counting. Plainfield trailing 35-6, trying to end the game on a positive note. Still two games to play in the regular season after tonight. Our senior day and possibly Coach Woodard's final home game ever next Friday, followed by at Martinsville 2 weeks from tonight. Then the playoffs start 4 weeks from tonight. So we still have nearly a month to get ready for the playoffs. We can overcome this. And now a screen pass is complete. And he's got some room. That's Antonio Williams. And he gets up for close to 10 yards. He does have the first down. And that's Williams' first reception of the game, by the way. Picks up 9 yards, first and 10 for the Quakers at the 21. So now three receivers to the left, four to the right. I think Williams is still in there at running back. Yes, he is. And now throws into the end zone, and it is off the fingertips. So second and 10 at the 21, 5:38. 5:38 to go. So second and 10 for the Quakers at their white at the Franklin 21. I'm getting ahead of myself. Whiteland is their next opponent next week at Hope. Our senior day. So two receivers to the right, one to the left. Williams, the running back, Newell in shotgun, trying to finish the game on a positive note. Gives it to Newell. He's up for about 3 or 4. Give him credit for 3 yards there. So two receivers to the left, one to the right. Third and 7 for the Quakers now. High snap, but he gets it. The snaps have been better tonight. Newell nearly sacked, and he is sacked. So now all of a sudden, Newell, maybe he's getting frustrated. He needed to get rid of it there. He didn't that second time in this quarter. But again, he's played a fairly good game. You know, he's given probably an above average performance tonight. And that's a 9 yard loss there. They are going for it, however. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Newell. And he throws, he's got a completion. He might not get the first. He does. He's inside the 10. So we're inside the 10 now. That's Noah Hessig there. That's a gain of about 20 yards. So that's the second time that the Quakers have converted on fourth down tonight. Picks up 19 there. .357 to go in counting. Plainfield trailing by 29, trying to end the game on a positive note. Two receivers to each side. First goal at the 8. Newell in shotgun. Takes the snap. Rolls to his right. He looks. He's got time. And now he scrambles. Oh, come on. Oh, no. And he sacks for a 17-yard loss. You've got to get rid of it. So Newell starting to self-destruct on this drive. The team is destructive in the second half. Now Newell has self-destructed on this drive. 17-yard loss. Oh, my God. Well, the good news is I assume this is being filmed by the Plainfield staff, and they can use this to teach some very important lessons. So second and goal from the 25 now. And oh my God. And now he slips for another 10-yard loss. We do have a late flag. Let's see what happens here. Hopefully it's against Franklin. Let's see. Two officials are deliberating now. Holding against Plainfield. Oh, my God. And, you know, this... So now... And this is... I wish I were joking. It's now third and goal at the 50. So a 17-yard sack, and then, you know, Newell slips for another 10-yard loss, and now a 15-yard penalty. And that sums up the game. You know, this sucks, but we have to learn from it. We've got to make sure this isn't for nothing. We have to look back 4 weeks from now when the playoff starts and know that we made a lot of good out of this game and fixed what needed to be fixed. And now short pass to Grant Irwin, and he's up for about 7. So now it'll be fourth and goal at the 43. So we're going to punt now. I think this is the first time in 45 years of football watching that I've seen, you know, anybody punt when it's goal to go. That statistic might sum up this game more than any other. And granted, you know, Franklin had already sealed the win, but still, God, you know, you still want to execute well down the stretch. And now enough punt, and we've got it inside the 20. And now we got a late flag, and let's see what that's all about. If, you know, I believe it was Aiden Crouch, who is a sophomore, who got the recovery, but let's see if it counts or not. There's 1:38 to go in the game. Yes, like my son said, Aiden Crouch is a junior. Yeah, you're right. So thanks for the correction, Liam. My son is very, very, very smart. So I think he's smarter than I am. So three receivers to the left, one to the right. Plainfield, lucky to have the ball now with one more chance to score. And now Newell, it's a complete pass. And at the 15, breaks the tackle inside the 10. And he's I couldn't tell if he got out of bounds or not, but he's up to about the 6. Grant Irwin on the reception there. Give him credit for 14. I have him 8 for 80 in the game. A very quietly effective game for Grant Irwin. He might get my game ball tonight. So three receivers to the right, one to the left. Plainfield first and goal to 6, throw into the end zone, and he dropped it. He dropped it. So, now two second and goal at the 6-3 receivers to the left, one to the right. Screen pass, I think it's Irwin, he's got it, and he dives down to about the 3. Sorry, that was Larison with his second reception. Under a minute to go, so it'll be second and goal at about the 3 for the Quakers. 52 seconds to go. Let's get a score here, boys. 3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left. Plainfield still with all 3 timeouts. Let's finish the game on a positive note. Newell takes it, rolls, jumps back, throws, and he's got it into the end zone for the touchdown. So Noah Hensign gets his second touchdown of the game from 2 yards out. Hensign probably the best player on the team this year. .2 seconds to go in the game. Make the final score a little less bad sounding. Cameron Grimes hit his first 16 extra points of the year. Now he's missed his last three. We really needed to hit this for his confidence. It is up and it is good. No good. No, I'm sorry. Oh my God. So you hit his first 16. Now he's missed his last four. God, I hope that doesn't get into that young man's head. Fortunately, we do have 4 weeks to get ready for the playoffs, but this is concerning. So, you know, I'm all for doing an onside kick here. Try to get one more score. Try to, you know, end it as a two possession lead. That's what Perry Meridian did to us. They took it from 28-0 to 28-14 in the fourth quarter. Oh my God! What a disappointing game to say the least. But don't give up on these kids yet. Let's stick with them. You know, one thing I've learned from one thing I'm 51 years old. One thing that living for over half a century has taught me is you don't give up on things you love. You support them. You encourage them. You help them to figure out what went wrong and how to fix it to do better next time. That's what we've got to do. We've still got a shot to pull this off this year. So don't give up on these kids, please. And especially, please get out there next Saturday, as I'll talk more about in the post-game show. Onside kick. Come on, boys. Let's get it. It's up for grabs. But Franklin got it. We have 3 timeouts left. I doubt we would use them to stop the clock here. So most likely Franklin will just run out the clock. We shall see, but So, Franklin takes the field now. And they will likely just kneel once. They do, and that is it. So, colossally disappointing game here in Franklin as your Plainfield Quakers. First 3-game winning streak in 7 years is over. They lose in very painful fashion to the Franklin Grizzly Cubs by a score of 35-12. We'll be back with a recap and a look ahead to next week's Senior Day showdown with Whiteland and possibly Coach Woodard's last home game of his career after these final words from our sponsors on AudioSportsOnline.com. This broadcast of Plainfield Quakers football was made possible by the donations of our sponsors. We would like to recognize and thank them for their generosity and encourage you to support them. CCB Contracting, Geodis, Dinell Financial, Julia Ferberich, Remax Cornerstone Plainfield, Team Truly Fairway Mortgage, Kyle Burnfield, Mortgage Lender, Flagstar Bank, Bailey and Wood Financial Group, African Plum Home, MyIT Indy at MyITIndy.com, I-70 Record Service and Garage, BBW Construction LLC, Beacon Sign Company, Jeff Brown Photography, Karen Alexander Photography, and Fitlow Towing. Thank you, sponsors. Your support for the student athletes of Plainfield High School is greatly appreciated. Well, back here at Franklin for a final time tonight, where your Plainfield Quakers have just suffered a very painful loss to the host Franklin Grizzly Cubs by a score of 35-12. It's a game in which the two teams entered about evenly matched. Franklin ranked number 8 in the AP poll with a record of 4-2. Plainfield ranked 12th with a record of 3-3 and on its first three-game winning streak in 7 years. However, in the first half, it was a matter of Plainfield failing to convert. Franklin got the ball first, consumed nearly half of the first quarter, and then scored a touchdown on a 3-yard rush by John Shepard. Patrick Fancher was good on the extra point, making it 7-0. Then Plainfield looked like they were going to answer. They got down. They got down to the Franklin 5 on first and goal. Then Hunter Newell handed off to Troy Larson, who slipped. That brought us down to the 6, and then we had a penalty that set us back, and we turned it over on downs at the 9. Then the two teams traded punts, and then on Franklin's ensuing possession, Bo Baker scored on a 6-yard rush. Fancher was good on the extra point, making it 14-0. That was with 56.4 seconds to go in the second quarter. Plainfield actually did make it interesting. They took the ball all the way from their own 20 to the Franklin 25, but then turned it over with an interception on a Hail Mary with no time left. So 14-0 was the halftime score. Plainfield got the ball then to start the second half and looked like they were going to make a game of it as Hunter Newell passed 42 yards to Noah Hessing for a touchdown. However, Cameron Grimes was no good on the extra point, making the score 14-6. And nevertheless, it was a one-possession game. But then Franklin struck right back on their ensuing possession on a 3-yard touchdown pass from freshman backup quarterback Grayson Betts, who filled in for usual starter Clay Pinnock tonight. Betts threw 3 yards to Max Clark for a touchdown. Fancher was good on the extra point, making it 21-0. And by the way, it should be noted, that play was set up after Plainfield scored. The ensuing kickoff was returned all the way to the Plainfield 32. Then Plainfield struck right back. It looks like they were going to score a touchdown to make it a one-possession game again. However, Troy Larison fumbled the ball at the 1, and Bo Baker took it 99 yards for the touchdown for Franklin. So what should have been a one-possession game now turned into a three-possession game. Fancher's extra point made it 28-6. So Baker scored on a 6-yard touchdown rush and a 99-yard fumble return in this game. And then with 9:34 to go in the fourth quarter, Plainfield just seemed flat-out frustrated, and John Shepard rushed for his second touchdown of the game from 34 yards out. Fancher's extra point made it 35-6. And finally, with 32.2 seconds to go in the game, Hunter Newell ended the game on a positive note for Plainfield on a 2-yard touchdown pass to Noah Hessling. But once again, Cameron Grimes missed the extra point. He had his first 16 on the year. Now he's missed his last 4. So hopefully, you know, we'll right the ship with him as well. He's just in a slump. I think he'll snap out of it. So just keep on supporting him and encouraging him, and I think he'll get back on track. And not to mention, he's only a sophomore, and I think he's going to do a lot of great things for us over the next 2 years. But in conclusion, you know, this is a game where I really think it was a 50-50 thing as far as our chances to win. Franklin was good. They deserve this victory, but we beat ourselves tonight. You know, you can't turn the ball over 3 times inside your opponent's 10-yard line, you know, and expect to win. I mean, you do that, you're going to lose about 99.5% of the time. So, you know, if you take away those three turnovers, I think, you know, keep in mind, that's three touchdowns we lost there, and we lost by three touchdowns, 35-12. So, you know, the moral of the story, get rid of the turnovers. Now, there's other things we could polish. I thought we should have pressured their quarterback, their freshman quarterback, a lot more than we did. We should have made him run for his life a lot more. Our rushing offense for the second consecutive week never got fully on track. The passing offense was good. I think we should have started throwing deep earlier, but Hunter Newell did throw the ball well tonight. And, you know, he got several guys in on the action. So I think our passing offense is going to be fine. We need to start trying to create more holes for our rushers. And, you know, we just need to give up fewer big plays on defense. And now, obviously, we're going to have to start working on our kicking. After four consecutive missed extra points, you know, that did not cost us this game tonight. It could have cost us last week's game, and it could cost us a lot of games. I'll look at the individual statistics before I forget. For Plainfield, Hunter Newell, these are unofficial statistics, by the way, but I have Hunter Newell with 23 passes for 35 yards. I'm sorry, he completed 23 of 35 passes for 277 yards, two touchdowns and one interception. So Newell now has more touchdowns than interceptions on the season, 10 versus 9. He was two touchdowns, seven interceptions through three games. And keep in mind, his only two interceptions in the last four games have come on Hail Marys, so they come with an asterisk. Newell played well generally. There were a couple of times late where he didn't get rid of it as fast as he should have. I think a lot of it was frustration. I think that seemed to affect the whole team tonight. And keep in mind, by the way, this is a career high for Newell in passing yards. And keep in mind that very often when the quarterbacks have their career high in passing yards, it's in a losing cause because of that they had to pass a lot to play catch-up. But nevertheless, overall, a pretty good performance by Newell. He has continued to get better. This wasn't his best game of the season, but I think it was one of his three or four best. And hopefully he'll close out with two strong games the next 2 weeks against Rutland and Martinsville. Look at the receiving statistics. Noah Hessen, 5 receptions for 125 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's probably our MVP tonight. Probably gets our game ball tonight. Grant Irwin, a quiet 8 receptions for 80 yards, but he was very effective. We just need to get him, we need to get more long passes to him. Caden Vanderbush, 4 receptions for 30 yards. Isaiah Miller, 3 for 20. Troy Larison, 2 for 13. And Antonio Williams, 1 for 9. On the ground, not a lot to report. Antonio Williams, 6 for 23. I thought we should have gotten him into the action more. Troy Larison, 11 for 31. Hunter Newell, a very painful 6 for minus 38. And Noah Hensick, 2 for minus 3. Meanwhile, for Franklin, Grayson Betts, the freshman backup quarterback who made the start for Clay Pinnick tonight, had a solid game. He completed 7 of 13 passes for 75 yards and 1 touchdown. His leading receiver was Maxwell Clark, who had 2 receptions for 18 yards and a touchdown, followed by Bryce Richardson with 1 for 22 yards, Nash Netter with 1 for 10, and Luke Deckers, 2 for 13 on the ground. John Shepard, probably the MVP of the game, probably gets the game ball for Franklin. 19 rushes. Twenty rushes for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. Followed by Jack Aldridge with 2 rushes for 15 yards. Bo Baker, 2 for 4 and a touchdown. And Grayson Betts with 4 for 1. So in conclusion, this was a game in which Plainfield had some good moments, but they kicked away too many opportunities. Again, 3 turnovers inside the opponent's 10. That's a killer almost 100% of the time. In fact, I don't even know if any team in football history has ever done that and won. I mean, probably at some point, but it's very rare. You know, you need to take away those turnovers, and, you know, if we complete those drives with touchdowns, we're right in the thick of it right at the end. We might have pulled it off. you know, it would have been a 50-50 chance. But then the thing is, so the moral of the story, we got to finish drives. But another thing, I don't want to see the team get frustrated again. You know, I want to see them out there executing to the best of their ability, even when the game has slipped away. Like, for example, that drive, you know, we had it first and goal at the 8, and then Hunter Duell was sacked for 17 yards, then slipped and lost 10 yards, and then we have a 15-yard penalty on top of that. So all of a sudden, it goes from goal to go at the 8 to goal to go at the 50. And like I said, I seriously think this is the first time I've ever seen, in 45 years of watching football, this is the first time I ever remember seeing a team punt on goal to go. It was at the 42 or 43. So the thing is, you know, don't get frustrated, get mad, and play with a chip on your shoulder. And hopefully we will do that 1 week from tonight when the Quakers return to action back at home against a very familiar opponent, the Whiteland Warriors, who's beaten us, I believe, 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 8 times now. They're a team that looks like it's going to be a handful for us, but not invincible. You know, a week or two ago, I thought our prospects of winning that game were pretty bleak. And, you know, in fact, just a week ago, Whiteland entered their last game last week with a 5-0 record, the number one ranked team in Class 5A, but then they lost to a 4A team, Martinsville, so clearly we see that Whiteland is not invincible. And anyway, I hope you all get out to that game, not only because, you know, it will be our senior day, and I want you all to get out to every game, but especially senior day, and especially next week because it is possibly the last home game ever for head coach Brian Woodard. You know, there's a good chance we will have home playoff games, but there's no guarantee. And so let's get a packed house next week of thousands of Quaker fans to give Coach Woodard a heartfelt and much-deserved thank you for his outstanding 26 years of service to this program and this school. If there's, you know, one game that you're ever going to attend, make it next week. You know, it's going to be a special one. And hopefully a Quaker victory. But regardless, you know, be there to support Coach Woodard and be there to support these kids also as they try to recover from this loss, you know. If you need comfort now, let's go back to 2006. I remember, you know, the Colts, they had several disappointing playoff losses in the playoff at the Peyton Manning era. And then, you know, 2006 came, you know, and it didn't look like they were as good that year. And then they go down to Jacksonville, give up 375 yards rushing. And Bob Kravitz, who was then writing for the Indianapolis Star, famously said that the only thing that kept Jacksonville from getting 500 yards was that the end zone kept getting in the way. But, you know, what champions do is what separates winners from losers. And to quote Styx again, well, a solo song from a Styx member, Dennis DeYoung of Styx, and his song, Don't Wait for Heroes. He said, winners are losers who got up and gave it that one more try. So, you know, these guys just, you know, our guys just have to get up and give it that one more try. We're going to have to very painfully watch the game tape from tonight, see what went wrong, and fix it. That's what the Colts did that year. You know, they used that Jacksonville game to fix what went wrong, and they steamrolled to the Super Bowl championship that year. You know, it happened to them, it can happen to us. So, don't give up. Let's come back strong this week. This was depressing tonight. This game sucked tonight. But, you know, let's slay that demon next week. You know, last week we slayed that demon against Decatur Central. Next week, let's slay the memory of this game by having just a total dominating A-plus performance. And give our seniors a senior day win and give Coach Woodard a win in what at least will be his final regular season home game. Hopefully he'll have playoff home games, but we'll see. So anyway, rough night for the Quakers, but they'll be back, hopefully with a vengeance, hopefully with a lot more victories this season to slay the demon and kill the memory of this game and start another winning streak here. You know, tonight we could have gotten our first four-game winning streak in 14 years. If we go on a four-game winning streak now, then it will end with our first sectional championship in 22 years, only the second in school history, and the first of Coach Warner's career in his farewell season. So what a fitting end that would be. What a happy ending that would be. And Coach Warner deserves a happy ending. So, you know, hopefully we'll give him one. And, you know, keep in mind we do have 28 days to get ready for the playoffs, nearly a month, so we still have a lot of time to fix the problems of tonight. We have our senior day game a week from tonight at White. No, excuse me. We have our senior day game 1 week from tonight when we host Whiteland. Then we'll go on the road for the regular season finale at Martinsville. Then we have a week off, three weeks from tonight, and then we have the opening round of the playoffs 4 weeks from tonight against an opponent and at a site to be determined. I think they're going to announce that in a week or two. I will let you know when I'll check the IHSAA page. So anyway, again, rough night, but we'll have better days this season. We just got to, you know, fix these problems and right the ship and give the season a happy ending. So once again, your final score here tonight at Franklin. Franklin 35, Plainfield 12. The Grizzly Cubs rise to 5-2, and the Quakers end their three-game winning streak and drop to 3-4. Well, this concludes our broadcast. As always, thank you so much for joining me, and I cordially invite you to do so again 1 week from tonight at 6:25 for the pregame show as your Plainfield Quakers challenge the Whiteland Warriors on our senior day.